After my last episode with Brianna Fay, titled NFTs, Virtual Real Estate, Metaverse, Overhyped or Hype-worthy, some folks were curious what my take on it all was. That is, do I think this is all overhyped or do I think it's worthy of the hype? I'll admit, I still don't fully understand virtual real estate and the metaverse. I have some vision of it, but I struggle with how to fully understand the value and how it can change how we do things day to day. I'm sure I'm also using existing frameworks and models that don't really help me fully conceptualize it here. And I also think there's a lot less data for me to fully assess it. But with NFTs, there's enough data now to have an opinion. I do think majority of NFTs are overhyped, especially the standalone NFTs. Those lack utility. There's really no value for them besides sitting in my wallet and feeling proud of myself that I have something that I think is of value to me and nobody else. And I think NFTs tied to some utility, physical or digital, makes some sense. I can see a lot of value for that. I think the clear use case for me is around ticketing. I think NFTs have a perfect use case for ticketing for events. Think about using NFTs as a way to access sporting events, concerts. There's definitely a lot of value in preventing scammers and scalpers and things like that. So I see value in that. I also think NFTs in the metaverse, whatever that is, could be interesting. You know, I hear that a significant portion of our lives will be spent in the metaverse. It's kind of a scary reality, but it's actually very feasible. And so if NFTs is sort of how we move and identify through that world, I think there's some utility there. So that's my take. As always, thank you for listening. Now on to this episode.
This idea of working on soft skills and how important they are is not highlighted enough, I think. Collaboration and negotiation, which are skills I definitely still need to work on myself, is something super important.
That was Fadumo Osman. Fadumo is the head of growth at Red Cat Multiverse, a company that is utilizing blockchain gaming to build the world's first play, learn, earn model. In this episode, we discuss what play, learn, earn is and how that differs from play to earn model, which is popularized by the game Axie Infinity. Fadumo also shares insights on how the play, learn, earn model is a great way for improving soft skills such as critical thinking, collaboration, and negotiation. Fadumo is relatively new to Web3, which I found quite refreshing, as she has a more nuanced perspective on this ecosystem. We discussed her foray into Web3, as well as recommended resources for anyone who's looking to learn more about this space. I learned a lot, and I'm sure you will too. Without further ado, here's Fadumo. Hi, Fadumo. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I'm excited to chat with you today.
Likewise. Excited to be here.
Awesome. All right, let's kick things off with your background and foray into this crazy world of Web3 that we're all experiencing.
All right, sounds good. So my name is Fadumo, and I'm actually quite new to Web3 and crypto in general. A little bit about me. I graduated in 2018 with a degree in computer science, and I minored in political science. And some roles I've had since then include being an ed tech, Coursera, and being on the Google Play Store team. So I've always had an interest in the future of learning and future of work, but didn't really look into crypto until last year when everyone was, of course, talking about NFTs, et cetera. And this new role I'm in, I'm actually the head of growth over at RCM Labs, where we're building something on top of the play to earn model. We're calling it the play, learn, and earn. And so I'm really excited about that because it combines my past experiences in ed tech and gaming, but in a whole new way.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. You mentioned a couple of things that I'll eventually touch upon, but the first one was play to earn. And I know it's, you know, getting a lot of attention with Axie Infinity that blew up last year.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of gaming folks are excited about it. But just curious from your knowledge and understanding of it, what is it and why is it all of a sudden like getting so much attention?
Yeah, for sure. Play to earn, also known as P2E, is this like really popular concept at the moment, where players can earn a profit from the video game that they're a part of or just adding to the ecosystem. So this profit can come in a few different ways. It could be through trading and exchanging and purchasing items in the game, characters, things like that, but also things like NFTs, which can later be sold and actually get fiat currency through that. And so what's really cool about Play to Earn is it's increasing not only here in the developed world, but also in developing countries like the Philippines and Venezuela, where unfortunately a lot of people lost their jobs during the pandemic. And so people, you mentioned Axie Infinity, started playing that game, and which has seen, like, I think they have something crazy like 300,000 active users these days. So yeah, it's awesome to see people shifting and making money this way to support themselves and their loved ones.
Thinking on that topic a little bit, I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit cynical here, but a part of me wonders if the rug is going to get pulled from under them. Just, you know, think about like gig economy back in the day when Uber and Lyft and all these delivery companies were showing up. And everyone was like, this is great, I'm making more money. And then over time, it just felt like somebody ended up having to foot that bill. And so when you think about play to earn, do you just have any thoughts there on, it's great now, but like for how long will it last? And is there really something there?
What interested me so much into this is that we have this trend of gaming that has always been around, but has only increased, especially during the pandemic. So the gaming market is currently at, I think as of like 2021, around $180 billion, but by 2025, we expect it to be closer to $270 billion. Wow. So that's a huge difference in just a few years. Yeah. So I think as long as gaming is around, this concept of playing to earn and being a part of the larger community, not just being a player, but also earning through it and earning in a way that is fair, because we have Web2 concepts of being paid to create games, for example, Roblox. But as there was actually an article that came out not too long ago about how models such as Roblox are actually taking advantage of the kids that are creating the games. And so I feel like with play to earn, this concept won't just be around, but it'll actually be a lot more fair than its predecessors.
All right. Well, I definitely hope so. Excited to see how
fingers crossed. Yeah.
Yeah. See how that, I don't know. Part of me is just like, I don't know. Something feels very weird about it, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how things shift. But I do agree, a lot of people spend a lot of their time playing games, so it'd be very interesting to kind of see how they can get compensated for that time. And so that shifts gears a little bit to, you know, there's the learn and earn model that I've heard about. And I know there's Coinbase Earn, where you sort of learn about various cryptocurrencies or crypto concepts, and then they give you some tokens. Mm-hmm. Is that really what it is with that? Is there something else there that I should be thinking about when I think of learn to earn?
Yeah, I think that exchange of learning concepts and being paid to do so is kind of what Coinbase is trying to do with us at RCM Labs. We're kind of combining that learning aspect with gaming. And so for us, we're working on the problem of soft skills, which has been a long time problem, way before even the internet was introduced, because a lot of our jobs depend on that, whether it be critical thinking or mitigating arguments, etc. And so we're actually rebranding soft skills into power skills, because we see those skills being at the forefront, whether you're an engineer or you're in customer service or both. Honestly, a lot of roles are blending. And so that's kind of what we're building upon, and people get to earn through that by adding to our gaming experience.
I see. How exactly does it combine the gaming aspect with the learning and the earning? I think I'm trying to figure out, like, how do we piece those things together? If I were a user using that system, what would that experience look like for me?
Through the gaming experience, you're given certain situations or circumstances that through gaming, like you'll have a character and you'll have this multiverse you're playing in. We don't know if they're going to be cat themed or not just yet, but what we're doing is introducing these more, I guess, concepts that we work on in person, but through the gaming experience. And so eventually people will be able to be mentored by advisors at top institutions that are currently advising this project, and actually gain that educational experience without necessarily paying for that course or degree that this professor or thought leader is actually teaching, whether it be at a traditional institution like a university or through new institutions like Masterclass, for example. And so that's kind of where we're combining the two, where you're learning these skills, but in a game, essentially.
Okay. So then is it fair to just think of it as, you know, like the MOOC concept, like massive, I forget what it stands for, open online courseware or something like that?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so combining that with gamification, is that a good way to think about it?
Yeah, I think so, especially with breaking it down to people who aren't aware of either play to earn or play learn and earn yet.
Gotcha. Okay. And so then for what you're working on, then do you think is it mainly going to be around the educational institutions, or do you see a path where in the work environment, this sort of replaces some onboarding and training courses that employees have to go through? How do you think about that at the company?
I think we're still super early stage, but those are kind of the circumstances we're looking at. First, our first initial target is actually Gen Z and current university students who are applying to these internships or graduating and applying to these roles where these critical skills are needed. And so that's kind of who we're kind of like the blockchain education network, university clubs like my alma mater, et cetera, are who we're targeting at first. But of course, we love to grow our audiences later on.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Thanks for sharing that. So then I guess in your experience and in what you're working on, a part of me just wonders, like, why does this all have to be on the blockchain? Like, I know you said critical thinking skills. These are soft skills that are going to be more in demand in the future. But why do you think what you're working on, the PLE model, is the best avenue for that to be experienced as opposed to, I don't know, taking more classes in critical thinking? I don't know. I'm just throwing questions.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Yeah. I think there are like two main points at the moment. One is that literally anyone can take part and profit. Basically, any person that's a part of the ecosystem can be contributing to the development of the game or the ecosystem in general. And also the aspect of the NFTs. These digital assets have been all over the place, but being able to actually gain some through just playing and learning, I think, is why I, for example, was personally attracted to this project. These memes can definitely be created in other ways. For example, Roblox, allowing teenagers and others to create games and profit from them. But again, they're just not as fair. And of course, yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Can you just say a little bit more about Roblox? What kind of advantage are they taking of people? How does this sort of make it a little bit fairer? Just so we have an understanding of really where the benefits lie here with this technology.
Yeah, so I think the main point is just transparency, just knowing the exact amount that is being made off of whoever created that first game. And of course, Roblox is a larger platform, so they're bringing on the eyes and the players, etc. But that exchange is still not completely fair, especially when people are kind of pushed to kind of churn out as many games as possible. It's kind of like a hit and miss if they're going to actually make money. And so with everything, and I think everything in crypto, there are some definitely rug pulls and a lot of scams going on. But I think transparency is the number one thing, which is the best thing, I think, like people knowing who's actually benefiting from their contributions.
Gotcha. Thanks for sharing. One of the things you'd mentioned earlier was in the introduction, you talked about Web3 and combining that with your education and future of education. And I know you've talked about the PLE model as one aspect. Is there something else here that you want to see this ecosystem evolve into as far as education is concerned?
Something amazing I would love to see is just the continuation of using these like play to earn, play learn and earn models to just onboard more people into crypto in general, with more and more, I guess they're called developing countries, but just like we call them developing countries, but a lot of them are actually quite more online and more tech savvy than us on in Western countries. I actually spent around 5 months last year in Kenya. My family's actually originally from Somalia. And I was able to see the kind of startups and future of learning concepts being built there. And they just move a lot quicker. And there's a lot less red tape. And so I think that's like the number one thing all of us in blockchain hate is the amount of red tape. I understand it to an extent because you'll have things like people getting money stolen or money disappearing, not knowing who took it, like we see with these more centralized platforms these days. And so I understand the need for red tape, especially when it comes to financing. But when it comes to education and just lowering barriers, I feel like there could be something awesome here.
Yeah, no, thanks for sharing that. And then sticking along the lines of education, there's this whole concept of, you know, everyone's talked about like the play to earn model and financial inclusion and how Web3 is going to make things more equitable. And I really haven't seen that yet. If you're already in the know, then you're able to make money. And there's a lot of Ponzi schemes and scammers in the space that, you know, make me sometimes wonder if there's more to this technology than just a bunch of scams. Mm-hmm. And then you hear things like, well, Web3 and blockchain and equity and then Plater and financial inclusion. And they talk about the examples in the Philippines and other countries. And I just really wonder, is that feasible? And do you have any thoughts there?
Yeah. So I think there are definitely buzzwords out there right now. Like everyone wants to be diverse and include as many populations as possible. But when you look at the hard numbers, it's still very much a white and male oriented space, especially for those who are actually being rewarded at the moment. And so I think mm-hmm. being realistic with where we're at is the best thing that we could do. I think there are some amazing communities springing up, like Boys Club and other communities that are trying to bring in as many diverse folks as possible. But there's a difference between having like social events for those of us that are, like you said, already in the know, those of us who went to good institutions or are already connected through the tech world are getting access to this much earlier on. So I think there's already a good focus, unlike Web 2, where diversity is already being talked about early on. But I feel like when it comes to translating, like a lot of the actual content isn't understandable for anyone. Like, forget about not knowing crypto lingo. There's other language, just technical language and things that aren't accessible. There's some awesome like Tri Crypto and other groups that are focusing on Latino populations, etc. But again, a lot of us are well connected or have already worked at FANG companies, etc. So to be honest, I think we're far from being as inclusive, especially financially, as we'd like to be. But I do have hope, maybe 5 to 10 years down the road, that it'll look a lot more equitable.
Yeah. No, I hope so too. We'll see.
Yeah.
You'd mentioned earlier that you were relatively new to the space. What was your learning curve like? What was that learning path? I know you were technical beforehand, so that definitely helps. But just how was that path for you?
So I kind of have, I think like everybody else, a hate-love relationship with Discord at the moment. Constant notifications. Oh, I can't even listen to it anymore.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how I got started with just getting to know people. We've been in this pandemic for nearly 3 years now, and so there aren't as many in-person events, and with Zoom fatigue, I kind of just wanted to read and just follow people. So what I started to do was join, I already mentioned Boys Club, there's Web3, Familia, Women in NFTs, Tri Crypto. Those are kind of just like a handful of the Discord servers I initially looked at, and I was like, and I was just finishing up my freelancing kind of career. I did that for about a year and I really enjoyed it, but I wanted to be a part of a team again and a team that was kind of at the forefront of something new. So I knew I wanted to be in crypto, just not sure how I would fit in. And so when I saw RCM Labs through AngelList, I saw that they were working on Future of Learning, which is something I was like, oh, okay, I didn't know I could combine the two. So again, just want to reiterate, joining Discords and finding resources there has been helpful, but also just reading and taking breaks from these constant Twitter spaces and Zoom fatigue, because I think it's easy to get overwhelmed and just be turned off by all of this. And so I would advise folks just like spend an hour or two each week, but don't feel like you're so far behind, because there's some people that I was looking at where I was like, wow, like, you know so much. And they're like, I've only been here for like 2 months. And so that's what's comforting. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there is a lot of information out there. It's changing so much every day. It's really hard to keep up. And you're so right about Discord. I used to get like anxiety whenever I heard the Slack notification sound. I know. I feel like that's been overtaken by Discord. I'm just like, oh, stop.
Exactly.
I actually turn it off a lot of times.
Me too. Oh my God. It's a lot. Yeah.
It is a lot. Hopefully they do something about Discord ecosystem. It's not very pleasant. I hope they fix it.
I agree. It's not good for long-term use. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, let's talk a little bit more about RCM. Now, I know you talked about the business model, but just curious about what you do, but also where the company is at its stage, if you can share any milestones that are upcoming, how can people get involved, just as much information as you can share about the company.
Awesome, sounds good. So they actually reached out to me via AngelList like a month and a half ago,
awesome.
They're actually a female-founded team. The main founder, she's an MIT professor, and she's Turkish and her other founder is Latina. So I was like, okay, awesome. Like, woman of color in this space. Sign me up before I even learned what they were doing. But basically they're creating this gaming experience that we're calling Play, Learn and Earn, which is why It's called the first model because no one is really combining playing and learning in a way that is also including institutional thinking, such as professors and things like that. And our creative director was the former League of Legends creative director. So we have that long-term gaming experience, which is awesome. But basically, we're a pretty tight-knit, a handful of people team. We're super early stage. We just wrapped up our angel round, and we're working to create this community while we're working on the game. So that's kind of where I come in. I'm leading growth. And that comes in a few different forms. A lot of it is community building, working on the Discord, making sure people are engaged, but also just linking up with others who are in this future of learning space and seeing how they kind of see it moving and what the future of it looks like. Because at the moment, we're always told like, oh, like XYZ jobs won't be available in 5 to 10 years because they'll be automated. And this idea of working on soft skills and how important they are is not highlighted enough, I think. Collaboration and negotiation, which are skills I definitely still need to work on myself, is something super important. That's what brought me in initially. And so again, we're super early stage. We're around 7 people now, but super creative team, super insightful. And we're actually really honest about where we see the space going. And we don't want to kind of just get in on the hype because a lot of this will not exist in a couple months to a couple of years. And so at the moment, I think I'm really focused on growing our insider community. So our goal is about to have 1,000 people that are actually interested in our mission. And the way we kind of reward our initial insiders is through giving them a free NFT, which will we be dropping, airdropping soon. So if anyone listening to this is interested, I'd love to get you on board before they run out, and including yourself, of course. So I think, And so I'll send you the links to also include on the page. But yeah, that's pretty much what we're working on.
Yeah, awesome. Excited to see that. I signed up for the website and the Discord. So
So you'll get an invite soon, for sure.
All right. I'm excited. I can't wait. Definitely send me the link as well. That way I can include that in the show notes. So it sounds like you've got the NFTs that you're launching. Anything else you want to share, or a sneak peek in here that we can take a look at, or nothing to share for now?
We don't have a gaming sneak peek for another few weeks, but I definitely want to send that over to you for the audience to check out as soon as it's out.
Awesome. Can't wait. Any other sort of resources just in general that you'd like to share? You shared quite a bit already, but anything else for the people listening to this to just learn more about RCM, about blockchain, Web3?
Yeah, so definitely joining those handful of Discords I mentioned where there are like resource channels in each of them. We actually have like a blockchain 101 series going on right now. So if they want to just follow us at @RCMLabs_ on Twitter, they can catch that if they don't want to hear the sounds of Discord. And yeah, that's what I can share for now.
Awesome. And how can people connect with you? What's the best way to reach you?
I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter the most. Twitter is a combination of Web3 / my political thoughts. And so I'm at Fadumz. FADUMZZ. And on LinkedIn, they can just search up Fadumo Osman and I'll pop up.
Fantastic. Thank you, Fadumo. Any last questions that I should have asked that you want to share with folks, or you think we covered most of it?
No, I think this was a good coverage. And thank you so much for hosting this. I was listening to your earlier episodes and looking forward to future ones.
Awesome. I can't wait to share this with everyone. So thank you for your time today. I really, really appreciate it.
Likewise. Have a nice day.
You too. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm your host, Lyde. Until next time.